Today, the lights are out in Atlantic City. Despite New Jersey Governor John Corzine's best efforts, the House Republicans pack their bags and head for the road to listen to what the country has to say about immigration. First stop, San Diego. And it's Wednesday. Time again for our political junkie segment.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Today, in the world of freedom, the proudest boast is, Ich bin ein Berliner.
Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
But I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House!
Yeah! It's your chance to talk politics with the junkie himself. Ken Rudin is with us. What political stories have you been watching? 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor and the brains behind the always entertaining political junkie column at npr.org, is with us here in Studio 3A. Nice to see you, Ken.
Hi, Neil. Listening to that stuff about Mexico, thank God that kind of election problems don't happen here.
Good thing we've taken care of all of that stuff.
That's right.
Yes, indeed. Now, the craps tables are idle in the state of New Jersey today. Why can't the New Jersey state government agree on a budget?
Well, you think they should because you have a Democratic governor, John Corzine, and you have a Democratic legislature, but Corzine is pushing for a 1% increase in the sales tax from 6% to 7%, and Democrats in the legislature know what happened when the last Democratic governor tried to do that. Jim Florio, shortly after he was elected in 1989, proposed an increase in taxes. They went along with it, and they got wiped out in the midterm elections, and Christine Todd Whitman was elected 4 years later. So they're very cognizant about what happened, about the public's view about taxes in New Jersey. The property taxes are already among the highest in the country, and they think that going along with it could be political suicide.
Mm-hmm. Governor Corzine, of course, just recently elected. There is, though, a big race in New Jersey coming up this fall, and how might this, it seems like local, but again, all politics are local.
Well, if John Corzine has suddenly become the most unpopular person in New Jersey, and if Democrats are getting blamed for this, this could theoretically help the Republican candidate for the Senate, Thomas Kane Jr., the son of the former Republican governor. He's running for the Senate seat that Corzine gave up, and his Democratic opponent is Robert Menendez, who was appointed by Corzine after Corzine became governor. So if you can tie in Menendez with the unpopularity of Corzine and the potential of a tax increase, Republicans could have a possible winning candidate there.
And it seems that every week on Political Junkie, we somehow mention the contentious Democratic primary in the state of Connecticut. Joe Lieberman is still a Democrat. He reminds us that he was inspired by the words of President John F. Kennedy that he'll always be a Democrat, except maybe if he loses this primary.
Well, you know, it gets worse and worse because given the fact that Joe Lieberman was a Democratic nominee for vice president in 2000, he's been in the Senate for 18 years. But he has a very strong opponent in Ned Lamont. He's from Greenwich, Connecticut. He's a multimillionaire businessman. And he really opposes it. Basically, he's very unhappy with Lieberman's not only support for the war, support for his vote to authorize the president to go to war, but his criticism of his fellow Democrats on the war and about national defense and homeland security and things like that. And even though the last polls we saw show that Lieberman has a lead for the August 8th primary, there's a sense that everybody feels that the momentum is in Ned Lamont's favor. And so Joe Lieberman, a proud Democrat, a longtime Democrat, who says if he wins, he will continue to vote with the Democrats. He has taken out the signatures to possibly run as an independent candidate in November if he loses the August 8th primary.
Mm-hmm. Well, joining us now is Mark Pazniakas, a reporter for the Hartford Courant. He's with us from his office in Hartford, Connecticut. Nice to speak with you.
Hello.
And how big a story is this in Connecticut?
As far as political stories, they really don't get any bigger, although I should hasten to add, we did nearly impeach a governor a year or two ago, so I should qualify that. But no, as far as campaign stories goes, this is as interesting as they get.
And is Ken right? Is the political momentum perceived to be on Ned Lamont's side?
There is a perception that it is, and Senator Lieberman certainly added to that perception Monday when he announced he was going to start the petition process. He put a happy face on it. He said he's still a Democrat, but it's hard to make that kind of a move without it being seen as from a position of weakness.
And Ken Rudin, one of the things that does, as soon as he says, I'm going to take get petitions so I can be on the ballot as an independent in case I lose the Democratic primary, a lot of other Democratic politicians have now had to respond and say what they would do about their longtime colleague and friend Joe Lieberman if it turns out he loses the Democratic primary.
And Hillary Clinton has started the ball rolling, basically, when she said that I will support the Democratic nominee. So that means that even if her good friend Joe Lieberman goes down to defeat on August 8th, she will back Ned Lamont. Now, others have not gone that far. Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, who's the chairman of the Democratic Senatorial Committee. Chris Dodd, who's a strong Lieberman supporter, the fellow Connecticut Democrat. Neither of whom have said what they will do should Lamont win on August 8th.
We're talking with political junkie Ken Rudin and with Mark Pasny-Okas of the Hartford Current. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's an email we got from Bob in Orinda, California. I suggest Senator Lieberman's announcement is aimed directly at the Democratic Party. While protesting his loyalty as a Democrat, the senator is clearly saying if he loses the primary, he will make sure the Republicans win his Senate seat by splitting the Democratic vote in November. Get your reaction to that, Mark?
It's really hard to make that prediction. The only public poll that we've had shows Lieberman winning quite handily in a three-way race. But the problem with that is that question was posed in a vacuum. In other words, how wounded would Lieberman be in a three-way race after having lost a primary?
Mm-hmm.
And these are the types of things that are so difficult to determine. The Republican candidate is a former state rep who has been out of office, state office, for 10 years. It does not appear he's going to be terribly well financed. But, you know, as you know, in a three-way race, anything can happen. Lowell Weicker won office twice in this state, first to the U.S. Senate and then as governor because he was in a three-way race. And there is an interesting parallel back to when Weicker won in 1970. Tom Dodd was the incumbent.
Dodd's father.
Chris Dodd's father, absolutely. He was a conservative Democrat. He was wounded because of his support for the war in Vietnam, and there was also a controversy in his office about personal use of some campaign.
He was censured by the Senate.
Yes, he was. The difference was he did not seek the nomination. He went as an independent right from the get-go. There was an anti-war Democrat named Joe Duffy, who was the Democratic nominee. And then Weicker was the Republican. Weicker had been a congressman for one or two terms at the time. And Weicker snuck in with a little over a third of the vote.
And in the governor's time, he snuck in as the independent candidate. But
yes, he did.
So it's a complicated history. And really, though, doesn't this go to the heart of the Democratic Party's soul ringing in advance of this election?
That's how the Lamont campaign is billing itself, that this is a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party. Lamont is first and foremost an anti-war candidate, but the broader theme of his campaign is that Senator Lieberman has lost his way as a Democrat, that he is supportive of George Bush not only on the war, but in opposing a filibuster for Samuel Alito, and that he has given cover to the president at different times, you know, by his statements. It's not so much his voting record. If you look at his voting record, Senator Lieberman still has, by and large, a mainstream Democratic voting record. His labor ratings are very good. In fact, he recently was endorsed by the AFL-CIO. But he has a habit of saying things at the right time or the wrong time from your point of view that resonate or anger people. You know, most recently was during the debate on a resolution to set a timetable for withdrawing from Iraq. It was expected that Senator Lieberman would oppose both those resolutions. It was not expected that Senator Lieberman would end up speaking, you know, essentially as a guest of the Republicans on their time.
Mm.
And there was great symbolism to that in this state to Democrats. And, of course, immediately after Senator Lieberman spoke, he was lauded by two Republicans, Senator Warner and Senator Santorum.
All right. Mark Pazniokas, thanks very much for being with us. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Mark Pazniokas, a reporter for the Hartford Courant, joining us from his office in the capital of Connecticut. And let's get a quick question in from Jeff. Jeff's calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Jeff, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hi. Yep.
Great. I had a couple questions. First off, I wanted to get the opinion on the Senate race in Montana.
Montana.
The latest polls or any news on that?
And
also, the third district in Kentucky is the first chance since '96. I think we've had to unseat Ann Northup. So I was going to see any opinions, and I'll take my answer off the phone. Thanks.
Okay, Jeff, thanks for the call.
Well, quickly, in Montana, Conrad Burns has taken more money from convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff than any member of Congress. John Tester is the Senate majority leader who's running against, he's a Democratic nominee against Burns. He is probably one of the best chances for a Democratic pickup in the Senate. Conrad Burns is thought to be in big trouble, even though he's a very effective campaign. But again, Tester may have the momentum there. In Kentucky's 3rd District, I kind of sense that Ann Northup is always on everybody's vulnerable list, but I'm not sure if the best Democrat is the nominee this time. And I think Ann Northup, even though she's always vulnerable, holds on for another term.
Ken Rudin, thanks very much, as always. Political junkie Ken Rudin with us here in Studio 3A, and you can read his Political Junkie column at npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And take over this beautiful land.